everybody. Welcome to
Twin Souls Podcast with your hosts,
Jordan
and Kelsey.
BFF Fridays, where we tell you all about us and dish on our personal aspects of our lives.
We talk about the hottest topics and discuss various tough topics such as toxic parents, infertility, coming out, and much more. Stay tuned for our BFF podcast every other Friday. Welcome to this episode of BFF Fridays at Twin Souls Podcast with your host, Kelsey. On this episode, I share a little bit with you about my personal story with infertility, infertility investigations, as well as the raw emotions and thoughts that come along with it. I will touch upon PCOS and endometriosis and give you tips on how to cope during infertility treatment. I'm 27 years old. My struggle with infertility began when I was merely 14. I woke up one day expecting my period in serious amounts of agony. I remember the pain was so bad that I couldn't even find my breath, and I was so anxious. It was the first time something like that had happened to me, and I remember how I said to myself, the hospital would make me feel better, and that this pain would be gone in no time. I fooled myself, because that day I was diagnosed with possible endometriosis, and I was booked for my first laparoscopy about 8 weeks later. During my laparoscopy, I was diagnosed with endometriosis and PCOS. I remember hearing the words endometriosis, and I wondered if I was literally going to die. The name sounded so scary to my immature self, and I had no idea what to expect or what I was even in for. So I went home that night. I Googled endometriosis. Endometriosis is an often painful disorder in which tissue similar to the tissue that normally lines the insides of your uterus grows outside of your uterus. Endometriosis most commonly involves the ovaries, fallopian tubes, and the tissue lining in your pelvis. So the other part of endometriosis is it can grow anywhere on your organs, and it is extremely painful. I used to have pain every day with it. I started to take Lupron. So because I had PCOS, my periods were always irregular. And because I had endometriosis, they were also heavy and extremely, extremely painful. I would go through bottles of Tylenol and miss school like crazy, even when I was 14 years old. So I was in high school. At the time, I never quite understood why it was happening to me or why I deserved it, because that's how I felt. Why is this happening to me? And I felt sorry for myself. The doctors didn't believe that I was in so much pain, even though they had seen endometriosis in my pelvic cavity and they had diagnosed me at stage 3. Because I was so young, most of them refused to treat me for pain. Not only did I have huge amounts of pain every day, I was told that I would have trouble becoming pregnant due to my PCOS and endometriosis diagnosis. I visited doctor after doctor, getting different opinions on my fertility and on my endometriosis. I also got multiple laparoscopies for endometrial tissue removal and ovarian drilling. Every doctor that I saw, because my parents wanted me to get the best care and they wanted me to get opinion after opinion to make sure that this is what it was and what else could we do to help. Going doctor to doctor, each time I heard the words PCOS, endometriosis, and infertility, my heart would just sink really deep into my stomach. I remember going home and crying over how hopeless I felt over my own body. I often wondered to myself, why wasn't my body doing what it should do naturally? I often also wondered if I should feel like less of a woman. I went back and forth on this for many, many years, and it was a private struggle within myself that haunted me at the back of my mind. All I ever wanted was to become a mother, and all I did for years on end until I got pregnant my first time was worry. My first experience at a fertility doctor, it was Dr. Victory. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to name the name of his clinic. I went in to see him. I was about 50 pounds overweight. And he had looked at me and said, well, you have PCOS and you need gastric bypass. You're never going to have children because your PCOS is so bad. And I was only 16 at that point, and I went home in tears. I cried. I was so depressed. He didn't even really try to help me. It was just all about my weight, which plays a part in infertility, but it's not everything. he jumped right away immediately to, well, you would need IVF or IUI. And luckily for me, that was not the case. He was wrong. I went through multiple surgeries throughout the years, as I stated, and tons of different types of birth control pills. They said that birth control pills were supposed to help the pain. They were supposed to balance your hormones, but this was not the case for me. I was still getting like facial hair. I was still getting body hair. I was still getting pain. I was still getting all like rapid weight loss, rapid weight gain with PCOS. And eventually I just got off the birth controls because none of them gave me any relief. I finally started taking Lupron shots to get my pain under control. I do want to put a disclaimer on the subject of Lupron because Lupron is widely criticized all over the world as a drug that is used to treat the symptoms and pain of endometriosis. It is also a very strong drug. It's recommended actually for testicular cancer, and I do not recommend that anybody go on it unless they have tried everything else first and they're using it as a last resort, and obviously they need their doctor's okay. I would recommend that every woman that has endometriosis pain that has been offered Lupron, do not go to the Facebook groups about Lupron because every person experience is different. And it turned me off to the shot for a very long time. And I was bedridden in high school because my endo pain was so bad. I let people scare me off from taking it until one day I got so sick of the pain and the suffering that I was feeling that I wanted to be a normal teenager again. So I started taking Lupron 22.5 milligrams every 9 weeks to keep my endometriosis pains under control. Shut my hormones down so I didn't have to worry about balancing out my hormones. It stopped my period. It was great for a while. I was on it for a while, and then after a bad breakup, I decided to lose weight and better myself. I was feeling so depressed about myself. It was a horrible breakup, and I wanted to motivate myself to get healthier, to get better, to feel better about myself. So I started going to the gym really seriously, lifting weights. I was doing 6 miles a week. I lost 75 pounds in a year by going to the gym, and I started eating right while I'm on Lupron shot. And I had, out of a 10, I would say my pain was probably a solid 5 or 6, but it was better than a 10 out of 10 that I had felt on a daily basis before I started taking the shot. So I was on Lupron for a long time, since I was about 18, and I would take it every 9 weeks as advised by my OB in London, Dr. Lovett. I'm just shouting out because she's wonderful and she's great. She supported me through my fertility journey on the first try, and I'm so grateful for her. If anybody has endometriosis trouble and you're in Ontario or near London, please go see her because she's incredible. So after 5 months of trying naturally with no success with pregnancy, Dr. Lovett referred me to the fertility clinic in London. I got a referral to the clinic, and a month later, I was sent in for various tests, including blood work and a histosonogram. So a histosonogram, the short form of this is HSG. It's when they put dye in your fallopian tubes as you lay down on a bed, and they put the dye through your tubes. And if your tubes are not blocked, your fallopian tubes, they can tell because you can see the saline or whatever they put in, they inject the dye going through the tubes. It's like two little straws. It's a really cool experience. I watched the whole thing by ultrasound when it was happening to me. My fallopian tubes, luckily for me, were not blocked, but my ovaries were diagnosed as extremely polycystic. I had tons and tons and tons of cysts. They actually call it a string of pearls because when you look at the ovary, it looks like the ovary is wrapped around a string pearl necklace. After a lengthy infertility investigation, my results came back that I was anovulatory. So when a woman is an ovulatory, it means that her body does not naturally ovulate or drop the egg to be fertilized. So my fertility doctor, again, I want to do a shout out to him as well because him and his staff are amazing. His name is Dr. Rafia in London at the fertility clinic. He's incredible. He is amazing. I went to see him. He didn't make me feel badly about my weight. He was happy that I was going to the gym and I was actively losing. He didn't make me feel like I was less of a human because I was overweight and I was having trouble having a baby. He didn't put me down. He didn't mention gastric bypass. He knew that I already knew that it was a problem and that I needed to fix it. I recommend him for any patient that has a higher BMI like me to go see him if you need fertility treatment. If you're close enough, really, to go see him. He's amazing and he's totally worth the drive. And his receptionist is also sweet and amazing. And she responds and she gets things done. And I really appreciate them. They're the best fertility team I've ever worked with compared to the experience I've had down in Windsor. Dr. Rafia prescribed me Femara and gave me 4 refills. He told me to go home, go get a period app to track my ovulation dates and do my thing then. I went home feeling pretty confident for the first time in years about being able to get pregnant. And I went home feeling like there was a little bit of light at the end of my tunnel. So 4 weeks after my first cycle of Femara, I took a pregnancy test only to be met with a big fat negative. I was super discouraged. I felt super depressed. I kept thinking to myself, oh my God, I'm not a real woman. Because if I was, I would be able to do this. And I think that's a very raw emotion that needs to be discussed more than it is, because nobody should be ashamed of their infertility. For the longest time, I felt like I had to hide it from people because I was ashamed. I'm incredibly grateful for my fertility journey and experience. After 4 weeks, I took the test. I don't know why I let myself feel like a failure. It wasn't the truth. I was still as much of a woman as the next woman. I really was. And that's the one thing that I want to say to everybody listening to me right now, is that if you feel that hope, if you feel that heart feeling of sinking into your stomach, if you're told that you're overweight and you need gastric bypass surgery before you can have a baby, if you have a high BMI, if not, if you're just struggling with infertility, you are a strong woman and you deserve to be celebrated as such. Infertility is not a sign of you not being able to become pregnant or have children. It is something that we cannot help, because so many of us are going through it and not enough of us are making that aware to people. Like, there's nothing to be ashamed of. As much as we all want to say we became pregnant naturally, that's not always the case. About 2 weeks after that initial pregnancy test, my period didn't come as expected. I was feeling a little bit nauseous, really, really tired. And I said to myself, this is really, really weird. I don't have my period. Obviously, someone's trying to tell me something. Maybe I'm pregnant. And I'm thinking, no, there's no way. I already took a test. This was 2 weeks after I took the test, and sure as what not, the big positive plus sign came up and I was shocked. And then I ran out and got 8 more and I took all 8, which Dylan said was a little bit over, like it was too much, but whatever. And each pregnancy test I took had 2 sticks that came up on it really, really quickly. So I was pregnant. Dylan was really excited when we found out. We both felt so much joy and happiness because we wanted this, and we were both already in love with each other, and we had decided that we wanted to have a child. Was pregnant. I was 6 weeks pregnant when I went back to the infertility clinic to get my first ultrasound, and she was just this little tiny speckle, and they said, yep, you're pregnant, and the pregnancy's just starting. I was 6 weeks. It was just incredible to see the little sack with the little tiny dot in it. And that was my baby. I was sick throughout month 1 to month 5 of my pregnancy. I had a healthy, normal pregnancy for the most part. Up until the end, I had high blood pressure. So I was on blood pressure medication, as well as I was starting to have eclampsia. And my liver was starting to flare up with something called HELLP syndrome after I'd given birth, which had been kind of a problem before. But HELLP syndrome is basically when you have a low platelet count and you have elevated liver enzymes. So what happens is it breaks down red blood cells. And after I had my C-section, my blood cells kept going up and up and I couldn't figure out why. October 2nd, I started bleeding the night before, and this is 2 hours away from the hospital. And I said, we have to go. We have to go. I think it's time. So Dylan and I packed up the car and my mom came with us. We got in the car and we started driving 2 hours to London and the pain was unbearable. When we got to London, my water broke all over the floor, except it was full of blood and my placenta had ruptured. So it was a big rush. It was from my blood pressure being too high and my body was just done with the pregnancy in general. So after a pretty rushed C-section and 7 units of blood later, I survived, thank God. And Hayden survived and she was okay. She had blood coming out of her nose and her ears and her mouth because my placenta had burst and she was running out of oxygen. But I'm so grateful to God for saving her life every day because it could have been awful. And I've read other stories of mothers just like me who were in the same position and they never got to bring their baby home from the hospital. And to those mothers, I want to say, keep your heads up, be strong because you are strong. And don't worry. I'm praying and hoping that every woman that wants that rainbow baby gets it. So after an extremely traumatic delivery, came out at 6 pounds, 7 ounces, and she was 21 inches long, and she was beautiful, and she's perfectly healthy today, and she's doing great. And now we're trying to have baby number 2, which, again, I'm going through the exact same process. Blood work, ultrasounds, Dylan had to do a semen analysis. It started all over again. And then the progesterone treatment that I have to take for 10 days in order to help my period come is just, it's not fun. So I've already taken 1 round of progesterone, had my cycle, got my blood work done. I have to go up to London to get a HSG to check my fallopian tubes and make sure they're not blocked. And I'm assuming that I'll probably have to do another round of Femara or a few rounds to have my second child. I'm going to be updating my journey as I go through this because I think infertility needs to become an open conversation for women and we need to be able to feel comfortable about it and not have to worry about being judged because we already judge ourselves so much and blame ourselves. So to anyone who's listening, you know, even partners of people that suffer with endometriosis, infertility, PCOS, you need to be there for them. You need to have open communication. If she asks you for a water bottle, just get her the water bottle. It's so important to have a good connection during this because infertility can put a strain on relationships. Ways of coping with infertility that have worked for me, not only the first time around, but that are still working for me the second time around, is acknowledging your feelings and always being honest with your partner. That's number one. You have to be open. You have to be able to have an open conversation without getting angry with each other. And you have to acknowledge those feelings that you're feeling, even if they're negative. Number two is understand your options. So this includes treatment options, ask questions, make sure you understand what your treatment options are. Join an infertility support group. There's lots of them on Facebook. Some of them are scary, but also some of them are really informative, especially Nancy's Nook on Facebook. She has lists of doctors and endo specialists. They really try to educate people about the disease. And there's also various pages about infertility support groups with other mothers, which are wonderful. And there are also tons of PCOS groups as well that people can refer to for information, meet friends. I think that's super important that women support each other, and especially in a time like this. So find healthy outlets for your emotions. So whether this be painting, diamond art, going out, having a run, going to the gym, you have to fill your mind with something positive as well. You can't always be focusing on infertility. I'm less of a woman. So you have to find healthy outlets and take a break from it all once in a while. Have a hot bath, have some wine. You have to take care of yourself throughout all this too, because your stress level has to be low. Be optimistic. This is the most important one. Be optimistic, but also realistic. This is my favorite one because it brings the reality of the situation down and it's not all flowers and daisies and unicorns. I think it's very important that people are optimistic that yes, okay, we're getting help. This is the help we need. We're going to have a baby. We're going to try to have a baby. But I also think it's extremely important to bring yourself down to reality. And you have to be realistic about your situation. And I know for some women, this really, really sucks you will feel better once you are realistic with yourself and you understand your options. It really, really makes it easier. And ask all the stupid questions you need. I did. It just made the process so much easier. And I also depended on my friends. I depended on Jordan. He helped me out a lot. He would talk to me and just let me vent, and that would really help. He would talk to me when Dylan was at work and I was throwing up by the toilet from morning sickness for weeks in a row. Just having a friend or friends that are presently there that are trying to help and will listen to you and let you vent, it makes a world of difference. And someone that you can go out with to keep your mind off of it, someone that's really just behind you in your corner, cheering you on, you need a whole team. So this is part one of my infertility journey, BFF Fridays on Twin Souls Podcast. And I shared a lot of raw emotions. Thank you for listening to my story. This is only part one. There's going to be a part two and three to this as well. As my infertility investigation progresses, I want to update listeners as well. I hope other women right now that hear me and are okay about themselves. Remember, you are strong. You will get through this and you can do it. I believe in you. What will be, and I think that's also a very important one to remember. I hope every woman that struggles gets their rainbow baby, whether it's by adoption, whether it's by conceiving them, it doesn't matter. We maybe appreciate motherhood a little bit more because we had to fight to get where we are, and there's nothing wrong with that. Stay tuned for part two of my infertility journey. This is Kelsey. I really hope that you enjoyed this podcast. It was very important for me to share with our listeners so I can reach out to other women that are going through the same ordeal and they're alone and they don't have anyone. If anyone ever wants to message me on Instagram, holla at your girl. My ear is always open, and sometimes it's just better to talk to a stranger. So I hope everyone enjoyed this podcast, and I will update you as my infertility investigation continues. Be there for each other. Be kind.